news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson, and we get things started this time with some good news for educators. As students, of course, head back to school across the country, Growth Energy has a special project of the National FFA Foundation. They're providing teachers with 15 days of instruction focused on ethanol and renewable fuels. To access the free instructional materials, including the lesson plan, six activities, PowerPoint, and assessments, just visit NAAE's Communities of Practice website at naae.org. Also, congratulations to the newly announced American Star, National Chapter, Agri-Science Fair, and Proficiency Finalist, who will compete at the 92nd National FFA Convention this fall. You can visit the news section of FFA.org to learn more about the finalists and their stories that will lead them to the arena stage. And attention, FFA alumni. Don't miss a free hands-on training opportunity at one of the FFA's regional development conferences. This one will be in New Jersey, also one in Alabama, Tennessee, and another in Oregon. The registration is now open. So for more information and to register, go online to ffa.org/go-to-rdc. And finally, just a reminder that the last round of the National FFA Alumni and Supporters 2019 grant applications are due September 3rd. Now, the grant applications are available online at ffa.org/alumni-grants. The legacy grants, sponsored by Tractor Supply Company, give groups up to $500 to start or improve FFA alumni and supporter chapters, and up to $1,000 to work with students on a partnering project. Give Back to Your Roots grants, sponsored by Nutrient Ag Solutions, gives chapters up to $5,000 to help fund student fees, plant science-based projects, and other classroom materials. Again, you can apply now at ffa.org/alumni-grants. Well, throughout the summer, the Washington Leadership Conference has provided a premier leadership experience for FFA members in the nation's capital city. Over the past 2 months, hundreds of members have participated. So let's hear from them firsthand what they've learned.
I joined FFA in the eighth grade, and I fell in love with everything that it encompasses. Even though that I don't come from an agricultural background, like, there are so many different things that FFA has to offer other than agriculture. For example, like the Washington Leadership Conference and just becoming a more well-rounded individual. And so I came to the Washington Leadership Conference because I am a chapter officer, and my chapter graciously provides our new chapter officers a chance to come to this great conference to come back with new information to help support and grow our chapter. Over the course of this week, I have learned that our different passions, like within myself, like some things I'm really passionate about are like advocacy and standing up for yourself and different things like that. I've learned that I can use those strengths to build like my Living to Serve project and other things that I'm really passionate about. So I can take things that I'm proficient at and then use that to serve others.
One thing that has stuck out is the people. You see all different types of people. When you first come in, you think, oh, FFA, they're all farmers, they all have an agricultural background. And then you get to know them every single day more than what you first started off with, and you're like, not everybody is a farmer, not everybody comes from a row crop. There's people who have livestock. There's people who just do the plant side of it, of like plant sciences. Then you have food science, and then you have your livestock and row crop, like your basic farmers. So there's a variety of different people, and that's what mainly stuck out, is seeing everybody across the state and how their chapters do things different from my Indiana chapter.
Hearing feedback from people from my chapter who went previously and just how impactful it was for their lives. Everyone always say this is by far the best FFA event they ever attended, and like I attended, of course, national convention, state convention, and those things are very different, especially coming from an urbanized area in Chicago. So coming here and just seeing how people are very open-minded to what my chapter and like what myself personally has to offer, I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to get it started because this is a national event.
One of the biggest things that I've learned is Yes, I am a huge agriculture advocate. Growing up on a production hog farm in Illinois, I have seen the in and outs of trade negotiations, in and outs of different diseases that are nationwide. But sitting in a conference room with a variety of people who advocate for those things, but also have different backgrounds in them, really taught me, okay, I may not know how to advocate the best way for my own issues, and I can learn from all of these other people who are trying to accomplish the same goal as myself. And I'd really like to take that back to my chapter, because I know everyone may assume it's in different situations, maybe my way is the best way to do it. And I think that by listening and truly connecting with other people and understanding why they make decisions and choose to advocate the way they do can better our whole agriculture industry advocation.
And taking place around the same time as WLC was this year's State Officer Summit. Now, we caught up with members of the Pennsylvania FFA State Officer team to see how they advocate for their communities while also meeting their congressional representatives in Washington.
Well, I really enjoy the opportunity to sit down with the FFA members and learn what's important and what they're working on within FFA and actually for the programs outside of FFA that will help benefit all the students now and in the future. I appreciate every time the FFA students come to visit me. I learn something new every day, every time I visit with them, and it's just really an outstanding organization. I look forward to working with them for a very, very long time in the future.
Just to know that he's from my area, he is my congressman, it's truly awesome, and it's great to know that we can trust anyone that's controlling our, you say, bills and that's working to help us and working to help our people.
The fact that the FFA and Farm Bureau and our farm community are engaged with what happens in government is a huge benefit because it helps us understand what we need to be working on. Some things in the upcoming year, I'm hoping we can get the USMCA agreement done, which is the trade agreement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. That will benefit our farmers. And I think just some education, which FFA is all about, is making sure that we're educated properly in what's important and what will help not just the students that are going through FFA, but our communities and our farm community.
The visit with the representative was really great. It was nice to share our mission as FFA members and advocate for the organization, but also connect on a very personal basis and explore what our personal goals and accomplishments could be.
FFA, I've found to be an outstanding organization. I've been involved as a state legislator with FFA, and it's really an organization made up of students, led by students, that really puts forth priorities that get people ready to serve, get ready for life, and get ready to make things better for our communities.
And in addition to meeting with legislators and conducting leadership activities, the State Officer Summit also prepares attendees for their duties at the National FFA Convention in the fall. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll hear how one young woman went from the bottom of her class in ag to an FFA leader. That's coming up next on FFA Today. Well, welcome back to the show. And now we turn things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to Emily Johansson, a Massachusetts member who grew up right outside Boston and, according to her, thought chocolate milk came from brown cows. Today, she's not only expanded her knowledge of chocolate milk, but she is also her chapter's president at the Smith Vocational and Agricultural High School in Western Massachusetts. Hear now about that journey.
Joining me today is Emily Johansson, and she's coming to us from Smith Vocational and Agricultural High School in Massachusetts, where she serves as her chapter's president. Emily, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. I'd like to start off by just asking you a few questions about you. All right, well, how old are you?
I'm 17 years old.
Okay. And so you're going back as a senior here in just a little while.
End of August is when I'm going back.
Okay. When you're not at school and you're at home, are you on a farm? Are you in town or you do something kind of in the middle of those two things?
I do not live on a farm. I live in a house in the middle of the woods. I grew up off the farm and I'm honestly going into first generation agriculture.
Okay. Interesting. So a house in the middle of the woods. I mean, that conjures up some images. You got to describe to us what you mean by this.
So I live in the center of my town, but I live on a dead end off a dead end road, and you go up a long dirt driveway and you have like my little manufactured house. It's basically a mobile home without wheels and surrounded by acres of woods. That's pretty much, if you Google Maps my house, it's a tiny little dot surrounded by a lot of green.
Very cool. Okay. Now, how did you get involved with the FFA? What made you join this group?
Well, I joined Smith Vocational my freshman year. I went in not really knowing anything about farming or agriculture. I grew up with horses, so I knew a little bit about animals, and I knew I wanted to do something with the rest of my life with animals, but I didn't really know what. Mm-hmm. So going into Smith, I was introduced to FFA because my 9th and 10th grade animal science teacher is one of the head advisors, and she was talking to our whole class about state convention coming up in that March. And she said, hey, we need people to do something called creed speaking. And I said, oh, that sounds fine. I guess I can do it. I don't know why no one's doing this. And then after I signed up, I found out it's 5 paragraphs memorized in front of 3 judges and asked questions afterwards. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got pushed into FFA. I decided to stay because I really liked the organization. I liked the support and the community around it. And I really just kind of started to fall in love with it and do more in it.
Well, I'll say you've gone from kind of being pushed into it or getting into something you weren't expecting to now you're going to be serving as your chapter's president. So you must have jumped in wholeheartedly.
Yes, I really did. Yeah. It was something that my mom's like, you have to do something after school. I said, this seems interesting enough. And then I really found my passion for it.
Very cool. Well, so you decided to go into the officer team, and you've served as an officer 1 year before this upcoming year. Is that correct?
Yes, okay. I have.
And here you are, you're going in as your chapter's president. So what plans do you have for your year as president? What do you want to see happen with your chapter while you're kind of at the helm?
Yeah, so I'm really trying to, one of my main goals is bringing the officer team together. Sadly, the year before when I was serving, I felt that the officer team was a little distant from each other. So this year, I'm trying to bring together the officer team to help polish our chapter, to add a little bit more formality back into our chapter, mm-hmm. like restarting, making sure that everyone gets an agenda before a meeting, making sure minutes are out 24 hours right after, like really ramping up that kind of professionalism that we lost throughout the years.
Okay. Well, good for you. You've got some clear goals and you saw some things that you wanted to change. Now, you said you grew up around agriculture. Do you mean that you grew up in a community with a lot of agriculture, or was there some other reason that you say that?
So, I grew up in the eastern part of the state, 20 minutes south of Boston. There was not a lot of animals around. I grew up with horses. That was like the agriculture I had was riding horses, mm-hmm. growing, like raising horses, that type of stuff. But I didn't really know much else about it. I definitely was that kid where you would ask me where my food comes from, and I would say the grocery store, and I'm not ashamed to say that. It's simply that. I'm that statistic. I was destined to be that adult who thought chocolate milk came from brown cows.
Oh, boy.
So it was really a big change that when I came out here, it really, like, set in that, like, oh, there's this whole underrepresented industry out there that gives us the basic necessity of life.
What circumstances led to you making this leap from the very urban eastern part of your state to the more rural and agricultural western part of your state?
Yeah, that jump was kind of sudden. We wanted to move. I grew up in that state for my entire life, and me and my mom like new things. So mm-hmm. we kind of were like, let's move. And my one thing I told her is that I wanted to make sure I go to a school that has an agricultural program. In our state, we have special schools that are dedicated to agriculture. So mm-hmm. half your time you spend in your regular classes and half your time you spend in whatever agricultural setting you want to be in, animal sciences, ag mechanics, different types of horticulture and forestry programs.
Okay.
And there were some near me that close to Boston. So I knew I kind of wanted to go there because I really wanted to pursue animals.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, we have to move somewhere that has a school that I can study animals. And so we looked all over and we found Smith in Northampton. So we like, let's go there. That seems like a good place for us to go.
Okay. Well, adventure. I like that.
Yep. My school that I have, we have 14 shops ranging from culinary to cosmetology, carpentry, electrical, graphics, health, and we also have agriculture mechanics, animal sciences. We have a horticulture forestry department. So we really have a broad range, which is even different than other schools in our state where typically you have agricultural specific and then vocational specific.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is actually a happy blend of both.
Okay, awesome. Let's talk about your supervised agricultural experience. So I'm excited to hear about it. Tell us what you've been doing.
Yeah, so my main SAE that I've been working in for the past 3 years now is working with specialized livestock, specialty livestock, and it's llamas and alpacas specifically. So my school, we actually have animals on campus. We have basically almost every animal species that you'll see on a farm. We have beef cattle, dairy cattle, goats, sheep, chickens, pigs, whole gamut. But we also have llamas and alpacas. And my freshman year, I started working with them. I was surprisingly one of the only ones in my class that wasn't scared of them.
Okay.
So I really was the one who was pushed to work with them from my classmates. And I really enjoyed it. And the veterinarian that takes care of them actually also owns them and has another farm outside of the school that he has more animals on. Mm-hmm. And throughout the years, I would always help the vet out. If he needed help, I would hold the animal. I would get the animals for him. I mean, I remember helping out with an eye surgery on one of the animals. I held the animal's head, made the surgery bed and everything. Like, I was there hands-on. So me and the vet were actually kind of got a connection because I was always the first one ready to help. And from that, he was looking for a student to help him at his farm over the summer because he typically works with college students mm-hmm. who are looking for research credits because his farm is typically a more educational research-based facility. But over the summer, since there's no college classes, he's looking for students to help. And I stepped up. I said, hey, I have my summer free. I'll be willing to do it. And I've been doing that since my summer of sophomore year.
Very cool. So when you're working for this individual back on their farm, what are you doing? What are your responsibilities?
So my main responsibilities are general care. I clean the barn. I let them out to pasture. I bring them back in. I feed them hay, give them water, just, you know, make sure they're all, I do general health checks, make sure they're all walking around, they're all healthy. And if there's ever an incident, like an animal isn't doing okay, I either try to help them to see what I can do. If not, I call my boss, who is also a vet, so it actually works out really well. Right. So he'll come down and I help him with whatever treatment that he needs.
Well, now, has this SAE, has it been something where you've been able to compete in proficiency contests or anything like that along the way?
Actually, yeah. I won my state-level proficiency award, and I will be finding out soon whether I'm eligible to go to nationals or not for it.
Very cool. So what was the name of your proficiency award?
Specialty livestock production. It's a general category. I'm competing up against pigeon farmers, worm farmers, and buffalo farmers, or some of the other examples in my category.
Uh-huh.
Really broad scope of what specialty kind of means.
Well, you've got your eyes on become a veterinarian. You're going to be graduating in a year. So what happens for you after that? Where do you see yourself going off to?
So I see myself going off right away to a 4-year college for undergraduate studies mm-hmm. in some sort of animal science, biology related field.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thankfully recently won a scholarship that pays for 50% of all my costs related to college. So I get to really decide where I want to go without having to worry too much about finances, which is like a big breath of relief.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm definitely going right away to a 4-year school. And then after that, seeing where I am, going into a veterinary school. And then after veterinary school, you go to a residency. And yeah, it's a long trek from here.
Well, that's great. Well, oh my goodness. Speaking of worms, you just opened a can of them. Tell me about the scholarship. How did you get the scholarship?
The scholarship is a Massachusetts-based scholarship. It's given by the state. Basically, you have to excel both academically and you have to have really good community services. And mm-hmm. you also have to be in some sort of financial need area.
Okay.
And with those three qualifications. So, yeah, you have to be academically successful. You have to have a really good character. And then also having some sort of financial need and assistance base.
Well, congratulations on winning that. That's fantastic that you've got so yeah. much of that taken care of. Now, do they, since it's coming from the state of Massachusetts, do they want you to stay in state for college or will they let you go anywhere on that?
Nope, they'll let me go anywhere as long as I stay a resident in Massachusetts, meaning that I can't live off campus if I go out of state. I stay on campus in a dorm. I'll be completely fine because my technical house would be wherever my parents are.
Got you. Wow. That's great.
And that would be Massachusetts.
So yes. is your boss, the veterinarian that you work for, mm-hmm. recommending any particular school to get started?
Well, he works a lot through UMass, the University of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely heard a lot about that school. I love that school. It's such a nice school. They have a really great animal science department there. I'm still looking around at other schools. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm going to apply to as many places as I can and see who accepts me and see what kind of aid I get from those schools and merit. And from there, really make my decision.
Awesome. Well, Emily, this is such an impressive interview, and let me tell you why. You started off in life, and you're self-defined as the person who would have thought chocolate milk came from a brown cow. So, I mean, that is one... you're all about the extremes, by the way. When you talk about going from worms to buffaloes, you talk about going from thinking chocolate milk comes from brown cows to where you are now. It's really a fascinating interview in the sense that you've come so far, I guess, in terms of your knowledge and in all of this. And, you know, what I want to ask your advice for other people out there, for you to go from not knowing the very basics, I guess, about food production, mm-hmm. to now having this scholarship, being your chapter's president, and being such a spokesperson for agriculture in the FFA. I mean, what would you say to another student out there who, when they first get introduced to the concept of learning about agriculture, they might go, what is that, and why would I want to learn about that?
Yeah, I'll definitely say, because of where I came from, it makes me appreciate more of what I have now and what I know now. Because knowledge is power, because the more I know, the more I can help others understand where I come from. I'm a huge advocate for our agricultural education and consumer knowledge. I love talking to the public and making sure that they all know these facts that I know as well, because I know where they are because I was there once. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say to any student who may be intimidated by learning about this such a big industry or doesn't quite know where to start, I would definitely say just ask around, find some local people that do know about our culture, ask them whatever questions they have, because I'm sure that they'll be just as happy to see another educated person as you will be learning about this industry.
Awesome. Emily, thank you so much for joining me today. Really enjoyed speaking with you.
Yeah, really enjoyed talking to you too.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, thanks as always to Matt for bringing us another unique story. And of course, stay tuned. We'll head to Nebraska next, right here on Rural Radio 147. Thanks for tuning in this week. And finally today, KRVN in Nebraska salutes Haley Rogers, an outstanding FFA advisor at Lexington Middle School, who's worked hard to get her school's new program off the ground.
Haley Rogers has a passion for agriculture and the FFA. Now she's getting to share that with the next generation of FFA members. Rogers teaches a career technical and ag program at the Lexington Middle School.
The classes I teach are all middle school specific, so I have anywhere from 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. So this year is a little bit new. This year is just a very general year for all the students. It's all very new to them. So we're just kind of giving them a taste of what they're going to be seeing in agriculture.
The program is still in its beginning stages, but Roger already sees a growing interest in the future ag classes in both the middle school and high school.
I definitely see that there's going to be interest in the high school classes. It's just amazing just exposing them to general agriculture. The excitement I see in the eyes and the questions that they ask me, they just had no idea about what was involved in agriculture. Just kind of the first lessons I was giving them is the history of agriculture and then the byproducts that they use. I basically told them that without agriculture, you probably would not be able to survive, and they're just amazed by that, and they're getting really engaged throughout my lessons.
The work is not easy with a new program, but Rogers believes there are rewarding moments.
I really enjoy seeing the light bulbs come on and just having a connection. Hopefully they'll be more connected into agriculture, and maybe they'll be in the future working in the industry.
I'm Clay Patton.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program, or an idea for something you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at ffatoday@ffa.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkison with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.